Testing. Okay, let's go ahead and get rolling this morning. If you would open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and the fourth verse. We'll be there shortly. So if you would open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we're going to take a few moments for prayer to be sure that we are ready to look into God's Word. That means that we come and analyze ourselves. Hopefully you don't need a day or so more to analyze yourself. You've been doing it all along this week. And you spend this time, if you need to confess any sins, confess those sins. But decide that you're going to focus your attention on God's Word. There are multiple distractions always in the world. But He says we need to take that L out of the world, I guess, and turn it into the Word and focus on the Word. So let's take a few minutes to get ourselves ready to study the Word of God. Let's pray. Father, we stand amazed that You are remotely interested in us, because we know we're all such a mess, and only through You are we anything. Only by connection with You and being in Your Son are we anything. Only by the Holy Spirit inside of us is there any power inside of us. And Father, we come today and we just pray that indeed You would enlighten us, You challenge us, convict us where necessary, so that we might grow up in our Lord Jesus Christ. We ask this in His name. Amen. We have been studying fellowship, and as you remember, there are five C's. Okay, first one is contact. Starts with salvation, faith in Jesus Christ. Phase one. First one is contact. The second one is confession. Now, at point of contact, the penalty for sin has been broken, but the power of sin is still here. The power has been broken, so we don't have to sin anymore. But we're still going to have a battle with it. So confession connects us back to that absolute fellowship potential with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And then it requires communication. Communication starts with learning God's Word. That's God talking to us, and then we respond by prayer and action. We're told to pray without ceasing. That means we need to go through all of our life and every moment of our life trying to stay connected to the Lord and being sensitive to His will. Now, you might not be focusing or meditating on the Trinity at all points during the day, because there are other things that need to be done. But the Lord should never be far from our hearts. Then we have, after the communication, is the connection. This is where a frequent breakdown occurs. Obviously, it can break down in confession. It can break down in communication. We stop studying God's Word or stop praying to Him and trying to live it. And it can clearly break down in the form of connection, because that is about intimacy. Intimacy and closeness with the living God. As you've seen from this, there are different levels of fellowship. And the one is the handshake type, where you meet somebody and greet somebody and say hello and you say how you're doing. And the intimacy goes to different levels, just like our fellowship with God can go to different levels. Abraham had a closer fellowship with God than probably 99.999% of the rest of the believers in the history of the world. So did David, even though David made a lot of bad mistakes. But they got close to God. Draw near to Him, He will draw near to you. It's a promise that they believed. It's a promise that they claimed. And they came into His presence as much as anyone can while still hooked to this body. That is available to us. It's not because they were super special and were given special abilities to come into the presence of God. It's because they chose to use what God had given them to come into the presence of God. Moses was the same way. Moses said, "Show me Your glory. I want to see it." And how many times have we prayed that in the course of our life? Mostly people want to just keep God close by when they need Him, but don't care a whole lot about intimate relationship with Him. So we wonder sometimes where God is. The question is not where He is, it's where we. Because He is always there, ready for this moment for us. We have learned also that constant intimacy is not accomplished till the eternal state, till we get our new bodies. Then it is close, never to be broken again. So it is normal, and it is not an indication of immaturity or anything else. When sometimes we know we're closer to God than at other times. Okay, it's part of our growth. When we sense ourselves drifting away, it's time to go. Is there sin in my life I've not dealt with? Confession. It's time to communicate with Him. Study His Word. Pray back to Him. It is a time to connect through a close listening more, paying attention more, and just making abiding is what it says, is to live. Fellowship, we're going to look at and have started to look at last week, the believer's relationship to the Trinity and its applications. And we connect through faith, hope, and love. These banners we have on the wall. Faith, love, where did the hope go? It's on the back wall. Okay, back behind you. Sometimes, and it's neat that hope is the one that was picked out to do that, because hope is an objective that we're looking at here. And how do you get to that point of hope where it's not behind you and you can't see it, but it's in front of you and you know it's there? How do you know that it is there and why? Well, we learn that we can connect to the Trinity in different ways. And it's really taught pretty clearly, but sometimes we don't put together all the puzzle pieces. Faith, hope, and love are the primary ways to persevere in the last days. We saw this last week. Chapter 5 talks about putting on some of the armor of God, the full armor of God, and it's all that Paul mentions in 1 Thessalonians 5 is connected to faith, hope, and love. It's our means of perseverance in the last days. We started this diagram, and I meant to run you a blank copy of the diagram so you could fill in the blanks. But I didn't. I think that was divine design, because a lot of times we learn things better when we do it ourselves. So if you want to turn your paper over, flip it back and forth, whatever you want to do, if you brought last week's with you, if you want to take this home and draw your own diagram out, be sure it's an isosceles triangle. Okay, equal on all sides to accurately portray the Trinity. And we got three circles. We started filling in the circles. Faith, hope, and love. Okay, the three things that we are called upon to grow in order to persevere in the last days. This is how we connect. They're the primary means of connecting through faith, hope, and love. Now, through faith in the Son, the Spirit connects us to the Father with great potential for fellowship with each member. Through faith in the Son, the Spirit connects us to the Father with great potential for fellowship with each member. It's a new birth. We've not grown up yet. We don't understand the vocabulary that connects us so we can communicate with one another. It's just a growth process, and it's learning how to grow. Now, through faith in the Son, well, let's see, He connects us. The Holy Spirit's in us. Okay? Moves inside of us at the point of faith in Christ. But we have to submit to Him to realize the relationship even exists. There are some people who get saved and they don't even know there is a Holy Spirit. Okay? Much less that He's now on the inside of them. God has moved on the inside. We're sealed into the Son, but He has to be formed in us. Okay, so we have the Spirit in us, but may not be paying attention. And we are in the Son, but we may not yet be conformed to His image. Now, Scripture does these things. We saw these last week. And we're in the plan of the Father. Okay? We're in the plan of the Father, we're in the good side of the plan of the Father, but we have to consciously seek to recognize it. Do we really want to know where God is at work? People say, I don't see God at work. You don't have your eyes open then. He's at work all the time, all over the place, and sometimes we can't see specifically, but we know that He works all things together for good to those that love God. So here's our triangle again. We'll go back to this. So if you miss something, don't panic. Okay? You don't need to go up and down the row going, what did I miss here? Okay? It'll all come back. We'll see it all again before we're done. So we have you. The point of faith in Christ, you're right there. Okay? The Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is in you. But you have to submit to the Spirit in order to realize that, for your gift to be empowered, all different types of things that we're going to explore. Then, the Son. Okay? We are in the Son, who, by the way, is the elect one. We are in the Son. The Galatians 4:19, Paul writes the Galatians and says, my children, with whom I am again in labor until Christ is formed in you. Okay? How do we know He's formed in us? There's been some changes in our life. And the Father. Now, we're in the plan of the Father. But are we consciously trying to see where He is at work? Do we ever bother to look and see what He has done in the lives of other people? We're real good at writing things off as coincidence, accident. That's kind of like God didn't know what was going on. And, it was just surprised Him. You know, to surprise, say that God was surprised by this is blasphemy. We don't often ascribe that, but that's what it is. God's not surprised by anything. He knows about it already. Now, at salvation, this is where we left off. We're recipients of some things. So 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4. Hopefully this verse is not brand new, but it's an amazing verse because it connects the Trinity to us in three different ways. Okay? And it says there are varieties of gifts. What? Spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14 are all about spiritual gifts. Here's the introduction into this chapter. There are varieties of gifts, different kinds of gifts, okay? But the same Spirit. Verse 13, He's going to tell us that He's the one that gives us, He sovereignly bestows the gift upon us at the point of salvation. It says there are varieties of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. And to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. So what's He said? A spiritual gift. The moment of salvation, you have a spiritual gift bestowed by the Holy Spirit, so you're related. He has moved inside of you. He has brought the love of God inside of you. And He has brought a spiritual gift into you. Now, there's, of course, arguments over whether it's one or more spiritual gifts and all that. My belief is, and I think the evidence is, that we receive one spiritual gift, not multiple spiritual gifts. Because theoretically, we could be a church to ourselves, couldn't we? That's not what God has called us to be. He's called us to be interdependent upon one another. There's a spiritual gift bestowed by the Holy Spirit, multiple passages, 1 Peter 4:10. Now, as you submit to the Spirit, because He's in you, okay, and you have a gift, it's not a question if He's in you or not, because He is. Scripture says He is. Multiple places. We've already documented that. It's not a question if you have a gift or not. You do. So submission to the Spirit of God, letting Him lead and guide and direct you, is going to let you be able to determine what that gift is. And usually everybody will know it but you. First. A lot of times we go, what is my gift? When I was going back through this, I have a lot of things. I was talking to some people yesterday about my giant four-drawer file cabinet that's got paper copies of stuff stacked in it that I need to sort. But that's a two-day job I don't plan to take the time to do right away. But when looking at that, I go in there and I find four folders on spiritual gifts. And I look in there and I've got tests for spiritual gifts. Okay? So you can go through and analyze, evaluate, determine what your spiritual gift is. And these are used in a lot of different churches, so you can analyze your spiritual gift, like the spiritual gift of music. There is no spiritual gift of music. These things are added to the Word of God. They're psychological tests that you could give to an unbeliever and come up with some skill sets. Okay? They haven't got anything to do with spiritual gifts. A spiritual gift is something bestowed by the Holy Spirit that's a supernatural empowering to excel in a given area. Now, I say that after a lot of years of study. I see, all are called to give, but some have the gift. All are called to show mercy, but some have the gift. All are called to administration, have some semblance of order to your life, but some are gifted in that. It's bestowed by the Holy Spirit. Now, we have a ministry that is bestowed by the Son. There are varieties of ministry, but the same Lord that is there. Now, what this is saying is that you can have a gift like mercy, and that gift can have multiple ministries. It can have multiple manifestations, multiple forms in the way that it comes out. Just like the gift of pastor, teacher. Oh, the gift can manifest itself in a local church doing what I'm doing. The gift can manifest itself in a hospital as a chaplain or in the military as a chaplain. The gift can manifest itself in a lot of ways, and that's a ministry. It's not, you don't compare ministry with ministry and say, well, this is more effective than this and this is more effective with this. The question with your gift and your ministry is whether or not you're faithful with it. See, because the third thing here is the impact, varieties of effects. That's an impact that's brought about by the Father. We say, well, my gift must not be any good. They're having no impact. I think most of the impact we have in our life, we'll never know about it this side. I truly do. Because nice things you did for somebody, acts of kindness in the middle of nowhere, acts of kindness to somebody you didn't know, may have made that person's day, which changed their whole attitude on life. They started seeing things a little bit better. You may not know about that. God doesn't lose track of those. He keeps track. Where your fingerprints go, He knows where they are. And He knows the good that you have done. So the impact, it's all done and arranged by the Father. John 5:17, Jesus said, the Father's working even until now. I'm working too. So just because you don't see Him doing the things like you want to see Him doing things doesn't mean He is not doing it. Doing your job heartily is unto the Lord. Colossians 3:23. That's what we're told to do. Doing your job heartily is unto the Lord, not as unto men. You're doing your job, you don't know really what impact that's going to have, what it's going to do for other people. They're going to look at you and see that you have decided to do it right if the rest of the world's doing it wrong. That you have decided to be honorable even if it costs you. That you have decided that this work, this vocation, is part of your ministry. You're a priest, you have a ministry. People think, well, I hire a minister. No, you hire people like me to equip you to do the work of ministry. Ephesians 4:12, that's what it says. I am not ever to take the place of your ministry. You have a ministry. There are varieties of gifts. The Holy Spirit gave them to you. Varieties of ministries, but the same Lord. Varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. And it says, to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. So all are designed for the good of the body. We have a tendency to forget that because you know, if we're in business, then we need business to come our way. And sometimes we don't think about the competition. Sometimes we get in competition with other parts of the body of Christ. We shouldn't be in competition with other parts of the body of Christ. We're in competition with the devil, who wants to kill us, who is unfair in the way that he does things. The battle is the Lord's. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Every one of these gifts, these ministries, the impact is designed for the good of the body of Christ. So what good can a little church like Trinity Bible Church have in the world when we look around and we go, you know, this church will fit in the lobbies of a lot of churches. Okay? A lot of churches have choirs bigger than we have membership. And we look at that and go, if we start comparing ministries with each other and not by the Word of God, we will find ourselves disappointed, saddened, frustrated, beat up, and we will faint. That's what will happen. God called us to be faithful with what He gave us. And last week, Brother Horton was in town last week. Some of you got to see him, listen to him, talk to him. It was a good time together to be encouraged by him and to encourage him. He's recently, as you know, they lost his grandson, Shane, and he was able to talk about it, which is good for him. It's good therapy for him because Shane was extremely close to him. And yet, he was able to talk and communicate about it and kind of draws some of his strength from Christians who pray for him. And he knows it. And he has contact with them. And he spoke to 2,500 kids last week in the schools and gave them the gospel. And only a few of you saw it. But if you play a part in his support, whether prayer support, financial support, whatever, your fingerprint's on it. That's what I'm saying. You're not even going to know most of the things good that God is doing through you this side. You won't even know. So you don't look at it by sight and go, cause effect, I'm going to do this to produce this effect. This is what I want to see. This is how I'm going to test it. I'm going to evaluate it. Instead, you do what is right because there are varieties of gifts. You got it. Varieties of ministries, the same Lord, but varieties of effects. This is in God's hands. It's not up to me to produce desired effects. It's up to me to do the right thing through my gift and my ministry and leave it to God. He's the one that brings it all about. Bob and Barbara, they were talking yesterday. Barbara said, I'm not sure exactly what's going to happen here and why we're going through all this. She said, but what I do know is that some people and friends that we have that are, they normally say, well, I'm going to think good thoughts for you. Okay? We're actually using the word pray. As a result of this, put it back on their Facebook page or whatever it was. Instead of saying, well, I'm going to think good thoughts for you, then I'm going to pray. Now, maybe they'll find out the one they need to pray to and all that. But it's a start. It's a seed. The attitude is good. She's going to face some difficult times. So we need to continue to pray for both of them that they not faint, not grow weary, not want to get their eyes on the things of the world and all that, but instead keep a heavenly focus. All are designed for the good of the body. The expected, here we go again. Faith, hope, and love. Oh, we get a gift, right? The Holy Spirit gives us a gift. The Son gives us a ministry. This is kind of what you'd expect. The Holy Spirit's the revealer. Okay, He reveals things. The Son is the doer, the executor. So through Him comes that ministry. And the Father is the one that works it all together. It's impact. connects us to the Spirit. So the more that you submit to the Spirit, the more you're going to see your gift work. Okay? The more that you're willing to get outside your comfort zone into your ministry, the more is going to be produced. And you're going to see the Son formed in you. Because if you're just trying to do things for your own strength and power so you will receive the glory, it won't last. It just won't last. Oh, and then you're going to watch the Lord. You're going to watch Him because you'll be paying more attention to Him. And you'll watch Him work. The expected results. The spiritual gift should produce fruit. The fruit of the Spirit is, Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness. It's internal and it's external. Fruit of the Spirit. Holy Spirit's inside of me, and when I don't find myself in a loving mood, okay? Now watch the Holy Spirit change that. It's His fruit that's changed it. When I don't feel like loving the person that just cut in front of me at Walmart, okay? When I don't feel like loving someone that's just cut me off in traffic, when I don't feel like loving them, and yet I choose to not overreact or respond, but show grace, that's external. That's the fruit of the Spirit from the inside and out. Patience. Love. Oh, joy. Let's see. I can have joy on the inside, joy on the outside. Take the party with you. Okay? Patience. Patience, see, starts on the inside and it's about actions on the outside. It's showing patience. You know, some fathers are really good fathers, and part of the reason they're really good fathers is because they're patient. They spend time and they take time to teach. And they teach in such a way that they realize that the child is going to make some mistakes. They don't condition their love on it because that's not fruit of the Spirit. But what they do is they take the time in order to teach. Patience. Kindness. See, inside out. Gentleness. Power under control is gentleness. Okay? It's the gentleness that God used that brought the heavens into existence that designed the flowers. That's gentleness. That's power under control. You have power on the inside. Now, I'm not talking about the slow burn that we have not killed somebody yet. Okay? I'm talking about the power of the Holy Spirit on the inside that is there, and as a result, you can be gentle. You can be sensitive. You can care about people. The spiritual gift inside should produce fruit. That's not evidence of salvation. Some people want to make it that. And saying that you have to produce certain kinds of fruit or it's evidence that you're not saved. Okay? But what should we do? Why did He give us? Why did He move inside? Produce fruit. That's what He did. The ministry is a function of our priesthood. Hebrews 13, verses 15 and 16. So we're a priest to God. 1 Peter 2, verse 5 and verse 9. We are, in the church age, priests to God. The dispensation has changed. We are royal priests to God. We're special. And a special dispensation designed for us. And the ministry is a function of our priesthood. Hebrews 13, 15 and 16. Do not neglect doing good and sharing, it says. Let us offer up the sacrifice of praise, the fruit of the lips that give praise to His name. Let us not neglect doing good and sharing, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased. If I give the praise to God, it's a sacrifice, because I could be giving it to myself. See, we want that, don't we? We want the pats on the back. I mean, the sin nature there is selfish. We want it all coming our way. But a sacrifice of praise is one that gives all the glory to the Lord where it should be to begin with. Giving. When we give to others what we could have used for ourselves. for something selfish. That's a sacrifice. Praise. We have praise over all of our things. And especially this time of year. Golly, what a nightmare. With the shopping malls and all of those different things that are around and all the manipulation and, you know, it's kind of like the Jewish family I heard about. And kid was going to school and they said, going to college, nice college. And one of the Christians asked him, said, do you believe in Jesus? And he said, oh, yes. Our Jewish family truly believes in Jesus. He said, my dad has a retail store and every Christmas Eve we go in the back room and sing, what a friend we have in Jesus. Kind of for the wrong reasons. Okay. Our priesthood. We're royalty. It drives me crazy to hear them talk about the royals over in Britain. What about the royals in the body of Christ? Lost sight of who the real royalty is. And the impact is our ambassadorship. 2 Corinthians 5, verses 18 through 21. We are ambassadors. The interesting thing about an ambassador is that they're not born to be that. They're not born to be that, but they're changed. As a result of some things, they become an ambassador. They hold a position. They have a responsibility that goes with that position. And an ambassador is not somebody that stays one place, but it is sent from a king to someone else. That's what an ambassador is. And an ambassador, see, has been entrusted with a message. Okay, that's what ambassadors do. They carry a message from one authority to another authority. They carry a message from one authority to the recipients of that message. While David and I were in Ghana, the chief was sitting back there and got up to speak at the graduation ceremony. It just struck me, it's like an ambassador. And I said, for example, chief, if you give someone a message to carry to somebody else out here, do you expect them to change that before they get there? And he said, no. Why? We are given a message. Where does the message come from? It comes from the Bible. If we're going to be an ambassador, we're supposed to carry the message that God has revealed that He wants us to carry. So we have been changed as ambassadors. We have been sent. We have a task. We have a role in life. And we've been entrusted with a message that's the most important thing that has ever come down the pipe, called the eternal gospel. So, here we are. You, once again, right there in the center, a relationship with the Trinity. Faith, hope, and love. Love, the Spirit brings us love, doesn't He? He moves inside of us, and the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. So He has revealed to us the love of God. God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. He has brought God's love inside of us. He has given us a gift whereby we should be able to produce fruit. That's what it's designed to do. And that fruit starts with love. What the Holy Spirit brought is what the first thing that He wants us to take. Then we have, the Son brought us a priesthood. Right? He made us a priest. We are all priests to God now. It's not a specialized Levitical priesthood with animal sacrifices. That's done. He offered one sacrifice for sin for all time, sat down at the right hand of God. But a priest always has to bring a sacrifice. So what do we bring as a royal priest? Ourself. Present your body. A living, holy sacrifice. And the Father made us an ambassador. We're in the plan of the Father, and we need to consciously be aware of it so that we might be an ambassador for Him. See, faith focuses on the object of the faith. The executor, Jesus Christ, our high priest and teacher. That's one of the things that the priesthood always did. It was responsible for teaching. When you start looking at the universal functions of a priesthood, no matter the form it took, they led in praise, they led in sacrifices, and they taught. That's what they were supposed to do. Jesus, the rabbi, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Oh, so a church should be a teaching church. If Christ is formed in us, church should be a teaching church. That should be what we do. Because that's how people are equipped for the work of service, for the work of ministry, to build up the body of Christ. So the application is be taught and be a teacher. To be a teacher, you have to first be taught. You be taught, and then you be a teacher. And you say, well, I don't want to do what you do. And some of you would like to do what I do. There are different forms it takes. Multitude of forms that it takes. Some have the gift of teaching and the ability to excel in what they do. Yet we're all called to be teachers. How do we teach? We live life like we're supposed to live it. As kids catch things more than they're taught things. You're teaching them by your actions. Teaching them by your attitudes. Teaching them by your life. The church should be a teaching church. Should be what we do. Love is brought by the revealer of God's plan, the Holy Spirit, who establishes fellowship, who gives spiritual gifts. Thus, to rely on the Holy Spirit is to submit to His holiness, so that greater fellowship and use of one spiritual gift may occur. We're wanting to get more in touch. How do we do that? Contact, salvation to begin with. Confession means we do pay attention to sin in our life. It also means we have to know what it is. Some people don't know that running another person down into the ground is a verbal sin. Some people actually don't know that. Some people don't know that lying and twisting the truth to their own selfish ends is a sin. They probably knew it to begin with, but they've been scar tissue to the point they don't even recognize it. Submitting to His holiness is submitting for evaluation. Going back. Reviewing. We looked at the Papa prayer. Present yourself in front of the Lord. Come into His presence. The holiness of His presence. Find out where we need to change. That's adjust. P-A. Next P is purify. Some things are going to take a while to get rid of. And A is approach. Keep getting closer, closer, closer to Him. A church should have a spiritual fellowship amongst its members. See, three elements of the church. There have been a lot of different people that have put together what should a church look like. What should a church look like? There's the five M's, purpose-driven church. The wife, Chuck Swindoll. Faith, hope, and love, Gene Getz. Not that any of them are particularly doctrinal or not doctrinal. They just describe different elements. Faith, hope, and love. Faith in the Son. We trust Him explicitly. And we want to grow in that faith and trust Him all the more. Love? Oh, that's connected to fellowship, isn't it? Kind of hard to have fellowship with people if you don't have some semblance of love with them. Have you ever been in somebody's presence you just didn't like? Everybody hold up your hand. Just didn't even want to be around them. And you're going, how am I going to get through this fellowship? And then you reach the stage when you submit to God and you watch Him work. And it's not that you no longer don't even want to be in their presence. You want to see God in their life. You want to see them changed. Oh, but first you want to see you changed. Isn't that good? We go in front of the Lord. Lord, would you change and fix oh so-and-so? And we wonder, why don't you do that, God? Maybe He wants to start with us. Maybe He wants to start right here. Start with this tent that's being torn down. Maybe He wants to get this one conformed to the image of Christ. I need to pay more attention about my conformity to the image of Christ than the rest of the world's conformity to the image of Christ first. My ministry would be such that is one where I am being changed from the inside out. Real change happens from the inside out, and it's touching other people. So it's not just do what I say, not what I do, but it's do what I say and do. Paul reached that stage. 1 Corinthians 11:1. Be an imitator of me, he said, just as I am of Christ. He wanted to be changed, but he knew he was human. He knew he was fragile. The next book, by the way, he wrote was Romans, which included chapter 7. Why do I do what I don't want to do? I'm still dragging this sin around with me. There are times that I'm not the witness I need to be. But I don't want it to be for long periods of time. A church should have a spiritual fellowship amongst its members, and hope is focused on the planner, the Father, and His ability to work all things together for good in accordance with His Word. Thus, a growing relationship with each member of the Trinity builds our hope. A church that has faith, a church that loves God and others, should be willing to share the hope that is in them. Thus, being evangelistic. That's part of our ambassadorship. We're taking a message of good news to a lost and dying world. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 12. Turn there with me quick. We're not going to get time to read Romans 8, but I'm going to probably start there next Sunday. Because this connects. There are passages, when you pay attention, that connect us to the Trinity all through the Scripture. I've just ran into recently, somebody said, well, the Trinity wasn't even viewed as a doctrine until the 3rd century A.D., I just really have trouble with statements like that, because that means that man is somehow determining sound doctrine rather than sound doctrine being there all along and we discover it. We find it. Oh, maybe the church did. A lot of times those church councils, by the way, are because a certain point of doctrine comes under such attack that they finally come together, because it was the doctrine of the blatantly obvious before that, but now it's under attack, so they come and they make a statement that, yes, we affirm the Trinity. Because it's not too hard to affirm the Trinity all the way back in the Old Testament, in the book of Genesis. Now, 2 Corinthians 3:12, having therefore such a hope, we use great boldness in our speech. Isn't that a great verse? What's one of Paul's motivators? His faith in the Lord, his love for the Lord. He says, here though, we have such a hope, we use great boldness in our speech, and are not as Moses, who used to put a veil over his face. I like the bag over his head translation. That the sons of Israel might not look intently at the end of what was fading away. He said, God, show me your glory. He did. He did. He came down off the mountain. His face was all lit up. And they said, put a bag over it, Moses. We can't do it. We can't look on it. We don't want God to talk to us anymore. You talk to Him. Tell us what He said. And no, we don't want to look at His glory in your life. Put a bag over it. So He did. He says, their minds were hardened. For until this very day, at the reading of the old covenant, the same veil remains unlifted, because it is removed in Messiah, in Christ. To this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their heart. But whenever a man turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Spiritual sight begins with salvation. There's not going to be any spiritual sight prior to that. There's not going to be the supernatural ability to understand spiritual things. That was 1 Corinthians 2. He says, but we all, look at this, we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. Okay? He's come into the presence of the Lord. He sees the Lord in His unselfishness, His kindness, His gentleness, His sacrifice. He says we're being transformed into the same image. From glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. Because of the hope we have in us, we should be evangelistic. That takes many forms. Some are able to communicate it clearly. Some provide that others might communicate it clearly. Some hand out gospel coins. Old Bert is going to have a lot of rewards. I don't even have one in my pocket. Gave them all away. He's going to have a lot. His fingerprints on every stinking one of those things. About 30 million of them. Now, all provided, all in grace, and yet we can't even leave one in different places. Oh, I don't want that waitress to think I'm weird. She already thinks you're weird. Don't leave a bad tip in a gospel coin either. That's not a witness. Because of the hope, Paul says, we use great boldness in our speech. One of the most refreshing things about Gary Horton is he'll talk to anybody. You know what he just does? He just starts talking. Well, he has the gift of gab. No, he has the gift of Horton. Okay? And you have the gift of you. And all these gifts are called to take this message out into the world. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your blessings, for your tests, for your opportunities. Thank you, Father, that we can come into your presence. Thank you that we are in your Son, the absolute safest place to be in and out of the universe. Thank you that the Holy Spirit is in us and we've been sealed for the day of redemption. Father, thank you for your amazing plan. As we know, you work all things together for good to those that love you. We're called according to your purpose, we know, Father, because you've called us and invited us and we've accepted it. Well, Father, we do pray for a little bit of opportunity to watch you work all the more and bring about your plan. We thank you for the amazing and awesome gifts you have given to us. Let us never take them lightly. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
I have four cards being emailed to Joy Haven.